Even after being incarcerated, Joseph was used by God to further God's purposes. This is Dr. Fred. You're listening to Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Thank you for joining me again. This is Dr. Fred as we continue our study in the life of Joseph and how it exemplifies for us the life of the average Christian. We learn in Genesis 40, verse 4, the following. The captain of the bodyguard put Joseph in charge of them, and he took care of them, and they were in confinement for some time. Now, this is an interesting turn of events. You'll recall that Joseph was at Potiphar's house. He was doing very well. He probably had a lot of authority over the other slaves that Potiphar owned, the other workers, until such a time as Potiphar's wife tried to entrap Joseph and get him to lie with her. Of course, that was an incident that was a terrible situation, and Joseph refused her advances. But of course, that worked against him because then it became her word against his, and she had part of Joseph's clothing to quote-unquote prove that he had tried to do something with her. So it was a very difficult situation that ultimately landed him in jail. And in jail, he was, through no fault of his own, found to be someone who could be trusted. God put that on the captain of the bodyguard's heart. He saw in Joseph something that God placed there that would allow Joseph to become a person of authority, so to speak, within the jail. And so that's basically what happened there. Now, here we see a situation occurring in which Pharaoh became extremely angered with his cupbearer and his baker. This is along the same lines that situation in Pharaoh's court is happening, that Joseph is, gosh, given responsibility and put in charge of the individuals in the jail. So we've got these two parallel events happening. Now, Pharaoh, he, for some reason, has become extremely angered with his cupbearer and his baker. And because of this, he chooses to throw them both in prison. And it just happens to be the same prison where Joseph was also held. The captain of the guard decides to make Joseph their attendant, to serve them. Now, of course, what Joseph does not realize at this point is that this is the beginning of his release from prison. Of course, it didn't look like that to him, but that's eventually what happened. It was still a few years in the future, but these were the events that were going to ultimately bring it about. Now, he doesn't know what to expect from these individuals or the situation or how long he's going to be in jail or what the future holds. Nonetheless, he does what is expected of him, and he does it as if he were doing it to God himself. There's no sign that Joseph complained about these additional responsibilities, but he simply did them. And interestingly enough, we begin to see Joseph's gift of understanding dreams come to the fore through the incarceration of the baker and the cupmaker, or the cupbearer, pardon me. This was something he had not utilized in some time. And of course, the last time he did this, it got his brothers to the point of being so angry that they wanted to kill him, but they settled for selling him. And it's possible he'd gotten to the point of wishing he'd never had it or used it because of where it had gotten him. I'm sure he probably thought he was to blame for his situation as much as his brothers were. Now, in spite of this, these two individuals here both had dreams, the cupbearer and the baker. They both had dreams that appeared similar, but no one could figure them out. Both men were upset because they had no idea what their dreams meant, and they thought the worst. Most of us would do the same thing, probably, if we had no real understanding of why our dreams had been what they were and what they meant. Now, in mentioning this to Joseph, he requested that they tell him their dreams, which they did. Beginning with the cupbearer, he relates his dream to Joseph. In the text of the Bible, Genesis 40, second part of verse 9 through 11, tells us this, quote, "In my dream, there was a vine in front of me. On the vine, there were three branches. As it budded, its blossoms opened and its clusters ripened into grapes. Now Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, so I took the grapes, squeezed them into his cup, and put the cup in Pharaoh's hand," unquote. Well, interesting dream, to say the least, and until Joseph interprets it, it really doesn't make any sense. Certainly the cupbearer was confused about its meaning and ramifications, and he was hoping that someone would be able to shine the light on it. Well, Joseph does interpret the dream and winds up providing the cupbearer with some great news. He was going to be restored to his position as cupbearer after 3 days. And remember, the text says they were on the vine 3 branches. So there were 3 branches on this vine. And Joseph says, well, that means in 3 days you're going to be restored to your position in Pharaoh's court. Who wouldn't want that news, right? In fact, it was enough to cause the baker to relate his own dream to Joseph, thinking that its meaning would be as good as the cupbearer's. Unfortunately, that wasn't correct. But here is what the baker says about his own dream. Quote, I also appeared in my dream, and there were 3 baskets of white bread on my head. In the top basket, there were baked goods of every kind for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them from the basket that was on my head. And that's Genesis 40, second part of verse 16 through 17, unquote. Now, this particular dream did not wind up giving the same good news for the baker as it had for the cupbearer. While the number 3 was prominent in both dreams, the baker would lose his head, unfortunately, in 3 days. Now, to the cupbearer, Joseph explained his story and asked that the cupbearer put in a good word for him when he was restored to Pharaoh's court. And remember, that was going to be 3 days later. The cupbearer said he definitely would do that, but once he was restored, he promptly forgot the promise that he had made to Joseph. And at this point, it would have been easy for Joseph to become angry over the forgetfulness of the cupbearer and not to take, you know, not to have taken seriously his promise to Joseph. He could have taken this non-action on the cupbearer's part personally. He could have felt betrayed as well. However, it appears as though Joseph had gotten to a point in his life where he came to recognize God's leading in his life, and he understood that it would serve no purpose to complain and become embittered by his continued incarceration. Well, the 40th chapter of Genesis ends with these sad words, but the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. Well, our God never sleeps or slumbers, does he? Yet growing into what God wants us to be does take time, and we shouldn't lose heart. That's where faith comes in, because we can't see the future. We do not know how these things that God allows into our life will work, will come together. But we should know through faith that God is working behind the scenes, even though we don't always see it. Faith triumphs by continuing to believe God in spite of what people or the circumstances tell us. It allows us to see beyond the visible to the invisible God, who he cares so deeply about us and only sends things into our life for our good and growth and ultimately for his glory. Now, if we go on to Genesis 41, here's what we learn. Now, it happened at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh had a dream. Chapter 41 begins 2 years later after chapter 40. 2 years have gone by. Joseph is just simply in prison for 2 years. And in Genesis chapter 41, we learn that at the 2 year point, Pharaoh had a dream. So during this period, we know that the cupbearer faithfully did his job for Pharaoh, and life went on as usual, with no surprises, and he did not, in 2 years, recall his promise to Joseph. But one evening, Pharaoh had 2 dreams, which not only confused him, but also made him very anxious. He didn't know what to do, so of course he called his wizards and magicians to him in the morning. Surely they would be able to interpret his dreams. Well, it was at this point that we see God's timing coming into play. It's not as if God had been ignoring Joseph, though it would have appeared that way, maybe even to Joseph, but certainly to outsiders. It's no surprise that no one among Pharaoh's household could interpret the dreams he had. And this left things wide open for Joseph to step into the gap and with the gift God had given him, be able to understand what his dreams were. Now, in fact, the cupbearer became upset with himself at this point for being so forgetful. But that was all part of God's plan. He reminded Pharaoh of the time when he had been very upset with him, the cupbearer, and the baker and cast them into prison. While there, the cupbearer said he met a young Hebrew man who was able to interpret both his dream and that of the baker. Both dreams came true just as Joseph said they would. And this is what he related to Pharaoh. Now, of course, this intrigued Pharaoh, especially considering the fact that no one else in his kingdom that he knew of was able to interpret his two dreams. He sent for Joseph, and the text tells us this, quote, "They hurriedly brought him out of the dungeon, and when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came to Pharaoh," unquote. It was not wise, obviously, to keep Pharaoh waiting, but at the same time, it was not wise to bring a prisoner before him dirty and smelly either, unless that prisoner was going to be condemned to death. Then it didn't matter, but this was not the case. So this initial exchange between Pharaoh and Joseph is very, very telling because it shows us how much Joseph had matured spiritually over the years. It's obvious that he had been humbled under God's mighty hand. He had come to the point of realizing that the gift he possessed was his to use, but it was only his to use for one purpose, God's glory. And here's what the Bible says in Genesis 41, 15 through 16. Quote, "Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'I've had a dream, but no one can interpret it. And I've heard about you, that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it.' Joseph then answered Pharaoh, saying, 'It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer.'" Unquote. Now, Pharaoh tells Joseph what he had heard about him. And please notice Joseph's response. Joseph immediately responded with this declaration, "It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable response or answer." This is very different from the egotistical young man who seemed to delight in pointing out his family that they would bow down to him one day. God had uprooted him from his family, his culture, his home, his land, ultimately bringing him to a place which was strange in every way. There was nothing familiar about Egypt to Joseph, or certainly the prison in which he eventually found himself. Now, one of my worst fears that I've had throughout my life is to be incarcerated for something I did not do. It's not that unusual to read of someone spending 15, 20, or 30 years on death row only to be completely exonerated when the law enforcement officials and the medical people were actually able to test DNA. Imagine actually being innocent of a crime yet found guilty. And then imagine spending years in prison on death row, thinking that you're going to die, and then being exonerated. You know, the most recent situation, as far back as I can remember anyway, took place this last December, a man by the name of James Bain, who had spent 35 years in prison, was fully cleared of his crime that he had been accused of, and he was set free. 35 years is what he spent behind bars. 35 years, knowing that the crime he had been accused of, he didn't commit, and death was always in front of him. I can't imagine how it must have felt for Bain to go through each day, dealing with the fact of his innocence, yet being treated as though he were guilty. Each day became a reminder of the injustices of the criminal system that occur from time to time. Now, Joseph spent a number of years in jail. God took what was inherent within Joseph, his tendency toward brazen ego, and through it created a situation in which Joseph was taken forcibly from his own family, sold into slavery, then ultimately being accused falsely and imprisoned of a crime he didn't commit. That's hard for us to grasp that God would do this. Yet God chose this path for Joseph in order to humble him and to teach him things that he needed to know, if he was going to become ruler over many in Egypt. In spite of the fact that Joseph had been betrayed by his own brothers, sold like a piece of furniture, and falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, he seemed at this point not to harbor any animosity toward anyone. He seemed to understand, to some degree at least, that God was blessing him in spite of the circumstances, or maybe because of them. Since the time Joseph had been unmercifully sold as a slave to becoming the second in command throughout all of Egypt, nearly 20 years had passed. That's a long time, when a good portion of it, including obeying others without question and then losing your freedom due to a false accusation, is part of the process. Well, that's our show for today. I hope you've learned something, and I thank you for joining me. And in the meantime, until we meet again, may God open your eyes to show you how blessed you are.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.